Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hey there, it's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings, and it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to donethatpodcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free, and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together.
Recording.
Hi, everybody. This is the Been There, Done That podcast. I'm your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge, and I'm here with my amazing friend, Becca Stone, who is going to talk to us about health, mental health, and all things that she has gone through in her story. I can't wait to have this conversation.
Me too. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, about who you are and why you're here, and then we can sort of have a bigger conversation from there.
Okay. I know. I was like, where are we going to start? What are we going to cover? We cover so much just together in our conversation. So I'm really excited to be here. A little bit about me. Becca Stone, 43, married for 17, almost 18 years. I have four kids. So my oldest is 11. She has Down syndrome. She's on the spectrum. And then we both have triplets. So I have triplets as well. Three girls. And they're almost 10. So they're about 16 months apart. So, I mean, life is crazy as can be, but that's exactly how I wanted it. Honestly,
it's
a blessing.
It is. And it's, but it also has pieces of the story that are hard.
Yeah, sure.
That we have to dig in and kind of deal with as we go, you know?
Yeah. And I think it was, you know, for me, everybody's like, oh my gosh, what'd you do when you found out you were having triplets? It took us a long time to get pregnant. So triplets for me was best case scenario. It's like exactly how I wanted it. I kept praying for a challenge and like, I'm behind, I want twins. I want, you know what I mean? Cause I was like, I wanted like all these kids. My heart was to be a stay-at-home mom first. And I'd always like just very vividly, I remember at a young age, just playing with baby dolls and just like talking about my kids' names. And so that was huge to me. So triplets for me was like one of the most exciting things. It was just, it really was an amazing journey for me. Yeah. I don't talk about it a ton in our triplet community because it wasn't like once I got pregnant, it was very easy. And it was great. It was so enjoyable. My kids were so healthy. I was so blessed. I loved it. And I didn't realize, because I just love all this, you know, back and forth and conversation. And I really thought that I would like big kids better than babies. Honestly, that's what I really, but like, and this sounds terrible. I love my kids at all stages and in all seasons, right? I mean, they're my kids. No, okay. But it's like, when you start feeling a little guilt, right? I mean, my oldest, and it's very intuitive, my oldest triplet will say, to hear you talk about us as babies makes me think you don't like us as big kids. And I go, well, that's so not true. But I say, the reason it's so different is because I go back to baby time. And now my four were so close together, it was almost like quads. And when the developmental delays, and I just look back at my life then, and I felt like I had one job, and it was to like play on the floor and change diapers and feed. And I was just very, very intentional. I got to like, I didn't feel pulled in 20 million different directions. Yes, I had 20 million different kids is what it feels like, but it was like one zone, one season of life, you know, like bottles for everybody, diapers for everybody, potty training for everybody, you know, library and story time. Like that to me felt simple. Mm-hmm. And so old kids, while it's so fun and no day is the same, it's very challenging because you're dealing with like, yeah, you have triplets, but they're all very, very different. You know, it's like you say triplets and people that don't have triplets, I mean, you're not supposed to know, but it's just like, oh my God, they're different. And you're like, I mean, they're individual people, you know. I'll never forget. My mom was like, oh, one of my kids just stood up and walked. And she's like, but they're like not walking at the same time. And I'm like, is that how it ever goes? You know? So I think that is challenging. It's like you have kids in the same season of life, but they go through it very differently and need very different things from you. And then you're navigating social experiences in school and sports and them kind of like finding their own way in a very similar deal, you know? And then I thought because I was so excited to be a mom and have kids and it was going to be my whole world, I think I like had this unrealistic that I would never be like frustrated or tired or like mad at my kids or
because you struggled to get there, you think I'm not allowed to complain now. I'm not allowed to be overwhelmed. I have to push those things to the side. I did the exact
I
same
just
thing.
didn't expect that. And I thought like, you know, and I guess I'm a control freak. No, I mean, I know I am. My kids were babies. So for me, I was very regimented. I was very organized. I mean, we would go and play dates and parties and we'd get off schedule. But for the most part, like I knew what my life, I wanted it to look like. My kids slept. People were like, I bet you don't ever sleep. I'm like, I sleep every night. My kids are in bed at 7. Done. Like I was very structured. I knew that I still wanted to have freedom and go out with my husband and go on trips. We did all of it. Actually, I had way more freedom than I do now.
Because there wasn't as much extracurricular.
Yeah. And you know, my oldest too, like special needs in old kids is difficult. It's hard because they're really smart. And you just don't have people that, you know, they underestimate them, right? So she's a flight risk and you know, safety is not her thing.
Well, and she has less capability, but is bigger.
100%. Yeah. And she's watching all of these like 10-year-old adults, so they think, like, go and do and be very independent. And so it gives her all the ideas and the things that she wants to do, but maybe quite isn't ready to do. And so it's hard to leave. So it's just like all these things that you think you know, right? Like, oh my God, I made each other first birthday. I'm in. You're like, you're not. You know, you're not. And I mean, I guess you're still good. We're still good, but it's just a very different journey than I expected. And a good one. I think my kids have probably been my best teachers.
That is a great way for me to ask the next question because for me, what I know of you and what I know of my own journey, is that the process of having children was not easy. Talk us through why that was for you and why you say your kids are your best teachers.
Yeah, well, they're very direct, like I am. You always know where you stand. You know what I mean? So it's just
I
like,
have the
Mom,
same.
I'm so sorry. Are you trying to wear that outfit right now? Like, that is not
Very
working. You
literal
know, yeah,
children.
very literal. Or you're gushing over my baby pictures. So I think you're very annoyed with me now, you know? And so they're very, very smart. They're very intuitive. We're very like, we have great dialogue and relationships. You know, I feel like in the conversation and in, you know, they're pretty worldly, you know what I mean? And just like picking up and like a lot of common sense, which is cool. They're very cool kids. It was hard for me to get pregnant because I didn't know, but even starting with my oldest, I hadn't had periods in a long time. And I had a very toxic relationship with food. And so I think that's really where it started. You know, I was an athlete growing up, very naturally, just like had a great build, very athletic build. I never struggled with my weight or body image. And you go to college and, you know, then that's usually the first time for some people, unless you're just like an extreme athlete, that you're not involved in a sport or a team or, you know what I mean? And so college was really, you know, college people are like, my glory days. I'm like, I would never go back.
Me too. Same.
Like, if I can think back on probably the loneliest time of my life, that was it.
I
And
agree.
just really hard.
A good percentage.
Really hard. And I just couldn't find like my fitting. Like, I didn't really want to do the sorority deal. And I had a lot of girlfriends that made that look really great. And I was kind of envious of some of those relationships and really just good friends. But at the same time, I didn't really want to do it. You know, I didn't want to be part of it, but I was missing like that close group of friends. And it's like, you know, people like, you go to college and you find your people. I was kind of like, I mean, I had a lot of great friends in high school that I grew up with, and but I kind of wanted to go do my own thing and get out of that and meet new people. And so, you know, I'm pretty good at that. So I went and did that, but it was a very lonely time for me. I was there for 5 years. And so anyway, I went to college and I gained about 30 or 40 pounds. and just fast food, drinking pizza, right? Like just trying to navigate adult life pretty much as a kid. And
trying to figure out and test the system and do all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, yeah. And so, you know, you're eating cafeteria food, and as a young adult, I guess, young adult that had never had to worry about food or what you're eating or, you know what I'm saying? And that was the age of like, the one thing that sticks in my mind is like, oh my gosh, I drank more Diet Mountain Dew and like diet drink. Like I can't even like, and I'll never forget one time I was walking into Hess Hall and, you know, you go out and it's like the little convenience store or whatever. And I was like, well, I'll get breakfast on the way to class. And it was like some kind of like cappuccino coffee, one of those big like muffins, AKA cake, and a banana. You know what I mean? And I'm like, it has blueberries in it, right?
It makes a muffin. Listen, there's fruit.
I just think back to that and I just go, you know, and so it was just stuff like that. And so I instantly became very insecure in how I looked, how I fit in my clothes. Then you are looking at like sorority girls and whatever, and their little jean skirts. And I'm, you know, just, I couldn't find my place and I didn't feel great about myself. And so I was just like, what do I know that works? And I probably restricted down to 5 or 6 foods, very low calorie. I mean, maybe 1,000, maybe 1,200 calories. And I'm really disciplined. So I could do that for a good amount of time and really see results and get attention. And I don't mean like I needed people to be, but like people started noticing a difference, right? So that is the thing with diets. That's the hard part, is people do them and are still very addicted to them because they remember it working. Now you say, I can tell you that then within short weeks or a couple months, or I might put 6 months together and lose 20 pounds. But at some point I could not maintain it. I remember sitting at restaurants, my friends were, you know, 25% wings or whatever it was. And I'm either not eating at all or eating like chicken breast, you know? And I remember feeling very restricted and very like missing out. And, you know, I'd go home by myself and I'm trying to talk myself off a ledge to just go to bed and not eat. And, you know, and eventually even in badly, you'd go drinking and then you really don't care what you eat. Or something would happen, or I would be lonely, or I'd just be starving and I would just like binge. So I was a big time binger. And then later at some point maybe I would have been so much I'd end up throwing up, right? And then you get in just this cycle of like, you've done all this hard work. Like how, you know, you just feel like such a loser. Honestly, I felt just like such a loser. I felt so weak. I felt so undisciplined. I felt like, why can everybody else do it but me? Like why? I would just look at people and go like, how? Like, why doesn't this work for me? So anyway, fast forward a million years of that. Literally, I did it my whole college. I remember being like, not wanting to go home for Thanksgiving because people hadn't seen me that way. You were going to see like high school friends and even like my family, you know, like they were very like complimentary of what an athlete I was. And, you know, I had this like athletic body and I was just like, I was very shameful. And I'm very outgoing. I'm loud. I like to talk a lot. So it's pretty easy for me just to roll with the punches and like cover that up. But like I suffered a lot.
But not with the people that know you the best.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I acted out and I did a lot of stupid stuff to like make myself feel better about myself. And I mean, I think that's part, you know, I think everybody probably has a season of that. That was,
it's kind of what college was for me too. But I think a lot of people go through that in college. It's the destruction that you felt that I hear you talking about.
Yeah.
You weren't able. That was a harder thing to come back from.
Yeah. And it was just like, honestly, I'm kind of like, I've always, and I don't say this in my old age, I'm not a rebel, but like some, you know, I mean, I do kind of like to like, act out a little bit, you know, and just like, and so I did a lot of that. And then, you know, it's like almost the, you do all that. And then it's the control of being able to like pick yourself up and put yourself back together and be so just like over the top. And so I never just really was able to find a happy medium. And then so fast forward, like getting married, you know, that looks a little bit different because you don't want this person to know like all the things, you know? So I made it like a little more, like, I guess it got a little more consistent. And I would kind of really have to like hide my dysfunction, you know? And so I got really good at that. So then it was just like, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to train for a triathlon. I'm going to, you know, like do these things. Everyone was like, wow, like you're so disciplined. You, I was just like, I love to have a goal. But I really, in my mind, it was like, if I can do this, if I can train hard, if I can lose the 30 pounds and keep it off, I'll never have to deal with this again. You know? So it was just, I always fell short, and I did because, I mean, a diet just doesn't work, you know?
It was all, there was always a hole.
There's always a hole.
Yeah. There was always
a
problem in the matrix, you know, in what you were thinking about that was getting you there.
Yeah. And it just wasn't healthy. I would go from such extremes. And so to answer your question, this long winded just cut me off, but I ended up then, you know, my husband and I were married 7 years and we wanted to have kids and I still hadn't had periods where I'm kind of like, don't stress, just like, people stress themselves out, you know, just it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. And
I only laugh.
And I do believe
the exact same thing I heard.
Because we had a lot of friends going through fertility. We're like, right. They're just so stressed out. They're on this like sex regimen. Of course they can't make a baby, you know? And like, I'm not throwing, you walk through it yourself and you see it totally differently.
Yes.
And
yes.
You just, you know, and so I really never thought there was anything wrong with me. I just thought, yeah, you know? And then finally, after really a year of trying, and we didn't really monitor anything or just kind of like, but like I still wasn't having periods. So they took me ultrasound. And I had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so I had cysts all over my ovaries. I wasn't ovulating. That's why I didn't have a period. And they were like, whoa, like we got to go, you know, because that's when you were like old if you hadn't had a baby at like 27 or 28. And, you know, honestly, if I'd had a baby at 15, I would have been okay with it. I was ready to go to like mom mode, work mode. Like I could have skipped the college thing and it might have even like saved me a lot of heartache.
Me too.
And people think I'm crazy. They're like, you just don't know. I'm like, no. Like I loved it. So anyway, I mean, God's timing is so much better than mine.
Agreed.
I got all my marriage stuff out of the way before I had my babies. Therefore, it was an amazing experience.
And I don't know that you would have been able to tell this story had you not had the experience of going through your parenting and all of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you still would have had, there would have been some other challenge.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's part of the story.
But. Yeah. I mean, I think there always is. And so then, you know, with that, like awful piece, I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Like, I just remember, like, I couldn't even remember the letters to go in place to like look up on Google and be what like, what the heck do I have?
Hey,
and
you got to move out of the way. You got to
go. I mean, she really.
He is so.
You know,
why are you over here?
It's our companion.
our office manager.
Our support dog. So it just, you know, for me that I remember him telling me, and I remember putting the pieces together with the PCOS and the health thing. And like, you know, she was like, hey, we're going to send you an endocrinologist. And in that moment you go like the one thing, right? Like I've been thinking about babies forever. And it wasn't like you can't have kids, but it was like, you need help. And like, if you're thinking about having kids, like you need to do it like sooner rather than later. And I was just like, what? And I'll never forget an amazing endocrinologist that she referred me to. And I sat on his couch and I came in and we were just talking like I'm doing all this research. And I'm like, oh my God, this is my health problem. Like this is why I'm struggling. Like I'm by the book, I'm eating all these healthy things and you know, whatever. And I still just really struggled to maintain my weight. I really just had to be perfect. And that was what I really buckled under a lot. You know, my friends say like, you can't even have pizza with us. And I was just like, I was so misunderstood. You've got body dysmorphia. I was like, I don't. I literally like my feet swell up. I can't get my rings off. Like I can't get out of bed. Like I feel bad. And so it was just this thing of having to be perfect and just wanting to kind of like, I did just want to have balance. I did just want to be normal, but I never really could find the balance. My body wouldn't do it. And then it was also like, I'd gone so long without it. If I ate pizza, I wanted a pizza. If I ate Mexican, then I wanted to go like eat donuts after. Like there was just, because I had this thing of like, I'm not going to get to have it again. Like tomorrow, like tonight is my last night. Right. It was like a forever start over, which is so just like, oh my God, I think about that now. And I just, oh, like I want to throw up a little bit, you know, just to go.
Because it's so far away from where you are now.
Yeah,
the healing that you have achieved
right.
In the meantime, when you look back at that and think that was such misguided thinking.
Yeah.
But you can't do that in the moment. You have to get to here.
That's what everybody was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like now you get on here, like even lifestyle now is like a cliche word. When like 5 years ago, it was like, whoa, lifestyle. What's lifestyle off a diet? You know? And I was like, everybody talking about lifestyle. I was like, what is really lifestyle? You know, I don't know another word for it. I've really tried to think like, what is Like, I need another word. Like, because I don't want to say lifestyle 100 times, but that's what it is. It's like, what do you love? Like, create your own lifestyle. Like, the foods that you love. And it, I mean, obviously, if you want to have a healthy lifestyle, it can't be 100% garbage. But it's like, it can be some, you know? And like, and so that, at that point in my life, I did not know how to make lifestyle work. And everything was the fad diets or the Diet Master or the, you know, I had all of them. I had literally all of them. I had the thing that you got on and like did your legs in and out. I'm like, why? You know, like with some college credit card, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I was so desperate. Yeah. And so anyway, you go and talk to the endocrinologist and he had me, he goes, hey, can you go on a weekend trip and gain 10 pounds like that? I just started bawling, crying. And I was like, oh my God, like he knew the way in. I was like, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Because I just felt understood. And he was just like, you know, your insulin levels, even the healthy sugar, like you really need to be more low carb. And you know, a lot of people like your carbs are your energy. Like the same is not for everyone. Correct. And I'll just, you know, because my body processes it very differently. And I can like have a big whatever that just fuels somebody and like, you know, they're carb loading for a marathon and I can just literally lay in the road. It's just very, very different for me. And so I did, I immediately was like, oh my gosh. And it wasn't at that point. I think the shift was, it wasn't necessarily just for me. It was like, this is how you're going to regulate your body. This is how you're going to be able to get pregnant. And he sat right there and said, I wish more people were concerned and interested in how they could manage it on their own instead of like, give me a pill, give me metformin, yes. Give me a, and that's not like throwing shade if you're on medicine. Like, again, everybody's body is so different and everybody's starting from a different place. And some people may need that because food in the beginning might not, but I'd already been at it for so long, working really, really hard. Yes. I had some very dysfunctional habits, but I did feel my body like with, I was very conscientious
yes.
of what to eat. Even if for me, I wasn't eating the right carbs or the right, whatever. I was still very high protein. I was very active working out, you know, 6 days a week, probably way more than I should. And so I had that going for me. I was already very healthy, but considering what I did, I should have been like a string bean and like, you know, a 12 pack. And I just wasn't. I could yo-yo 20, 30 pounds very easily. And so I was just like, I had this thing. Oh my gosh, like low carb wasn't in then really, and you know?
Couldn't be for you.
No, but it was all like random things like Atkins was just kind of like, and I was like, I don't want the processed stuff, you know? But it was like a way to have babies. So I saw it in a whole different light. It wasn't like, to be cute on the boat, or I mean, that sounds so crazy, but that was like my thing, to fit in jeans, to look good, to like, cause I was just missing something. I just had a hole and I didn't really know it was going to fill it. And so I thought that's what it was. And so it became a whole new mission to like start our family. So it wasn't even just bearing the weight.
No, right.
For me,
it was now I can do this.
Yeah. Cause it was like, I'm the person that something's going on with and wrong. So I have to fix it for all our dreams to come true. Right. And I mean, he never put that pressure, but I was like, this is happening. Mm-hmm. Like my life without kids is like not happening.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, whether I had to, you know, adopt, whatever I had to do. I mean, that wasn't going to be it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like why it was so hard for me. And the last thing I'll say too, it's like the moment of when like all you've ever wanted is kids. And it's like, God put us on this earth to like be moms. Like we're the only ones that can have babies. And for somebody to be like, you know, we're going to have to go through the blood work and we're going to have to do this special stuff. And I mean, it may or it may not, or you don't know what steps you're going to have to take. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
Like to wrap your head around, you've done all the right things. You've waited all the right time. You've found the right person. You know what I mean? Was really just, and for us, you know, we did not have quite the trial and, you know, it came easier for us than most. So I'm very grateful for that. We had great doctors and, but it's just that moment. I just remember driving in the car a lot. They gave me this CD to listen to and of just worship music because I was a believer and I am a believer and of other patients. And I would just listen to that CD and just weep. Just like, I would just weep. Like, I trust you. I mean, I do trust you, but give me a baby now.
Yeah. But I'm still scared that your will is that I want this won't happen.
And like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just trying to put the pieces together. I'm like, have I given myself PCOS? Is this from birth control? Is this from throwing up donuts? Is this from, you know, restricting food? How could I not have known this? Why aren't people telling me this? You know?
So. And again, the loneliness comes from the guilt and shame that you felt anyway.
Yeah.
From what you were doing. But then on top of it now, now I have this other thing
totally.
That is part of my body. And how could I not have known? How could I not have
this? And like, why can't I keep it together long enough to like make this work? You know what I mean? Like if you're just more disciplined, if you're, so it all comes to that like perfection thing, right? And just like never measuring up. And I mean, that like is in my childhood, and not because my parents ever made me feel that way. Like my parents were, I always felt loved. I really did. I always felt loved. We always came first. I felt that. I mean, whether we came first or not, they tried to put us first. you know, but it's like parents have stuff. You know, and now as a parent at 43 and some of the seasons I've even gone through in the past 2 years, I go like adult life is really hard. And it's like, now you look back at your parents and you just go, mine was eating, you know, theirs might've been a little bit more severe than that, but it's like, dang it, man.
Or it was alcohol or it was, you know, whatever that might look like. And you, I've had other guests that have said that too, that you start to look at your parents and think they did the best they could.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though, like, I never felt not loved, I never felt not taken care of. I mean, it was dysfunctional for sure. And I've really, you know, it's followed me like throughout my life. I mean, I've definitely had some of those tendencies in college. And you bring it into your relationships because you don't know how else to do it. But we've worked really hard on it. The other part, I just in like talking to my sisters and just, you know, my husband and adults, it's just like, man, did it set me up for success though. Like there's some parts of it that hold you back and you get in your head and you have this deep seated thing of like, I'm not good enough or, you know, whatever it is, or not feeling secure or, you know, fly by the seat of your pants, or it still served me very, very well. Because like my survival skills are next to none.
They have to be, right? And then you were given.
Yeah. Like for the situation the Lord blessed me with, correct. Because I will tell you, people go, oh my God, Trump's like, I literally prayed them into my life. Like God probably was like, I don't know. Like you might lose your mind.
I do
like,
not think
you're not 100% healed here. You might, you know, take a kid
better than we did,
but yeah, but it was just like, yes, I prayed for this. I prayed for Decker. Well, I actually prayed for multiples before I prayed for a challenge, but then when he only gave me one, I was like, I'm going to need a challenge because I felt like I'm going to be bored with one kid. And so he kind of reversed it, but that was a blessing too. Yeah. But it just, you know, oh God, there's so many things. I don't know. I'm on a tangent. Just ask me another question.
That's
so
you the can thing redirect. But I know the story. So I know that our listeners want to hear what you did to get to where you are, what that resilience bone looked like for you, what that hope muscle looked like, you know, those kinds of things. And I think that that's what I want them to hear in your words. Yeah. That's so that y'all know.
Yeah.
I want y'all to know that this is her real story. And that is so powerful to me because it isn't just about one piece of it or two pieces of it. It's the fact that they all worked together. And not only did you find a system that worked for you, you found a system that you could teach to other people and help them to not struggle to the level that you feel like you did.
You know, I think the biggest thing for me, it was nice having the PCOS thing because a little bit it made me feel, oh my God, you're not crazy. Oh my God, you don't have body dysmorphia. Oh my gosh, pizza's not good for you. Oh my gosh, you do gain 10 pounds in a week. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that made me feel like, okay, I'm not freaking losing my mind. There is something wrong with me, even though that sucks. And I was just kind of like, then, because I had the knowledge, I was like, so let's figure out, like, let's do the work.
Right.
Like, what does my body need? Oh my God, are you telling me that if I just put a different combo in there, like it's going to respond differently?
Now I just
holy cow.
To problem solve.
That's
right. To find the solution.
Absolutely. And I would tell you, and I mean, you've coached me, consistency is the superpower.
Yes.
You know, and I heard that once. I mean, like, consistency is the key, but I heard that they're like, consistency is your superpower. And so,
everything.
Yes.
Of starting a business, of being healthy, of having a prayer life, of having a good relationship
all
with your spouse, finding a spouse, all of it.
All of it. And it's so boring. So that's where, you know, because I like to buck the system a little bit. Yeah. Like I'm very like, and so I kind of go like, ugh.
Made it an awesome.
I know. I can't help it. Red faced.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I really figured out was I wasn't misusing food because I just like love food was probably the biggest thing, right? I mean, it was more, I didn't feel worthy. I really didn't. And, you know, with the food piece, it was kind of like, I had this amazing body and I was so athletic and it was like gifted to me. And it was like, without having that perfect body, I really felt like I wasn't worthy. And I mean, there was a whole, there was a missing piece, you know, like I had a ton of potential, but like, I never felt like I was like following through with all of it. You know what I mean? I might get halfway, I'd get far enough to like make a stink and get some attention and like a lot of praise and holy crap. But like, I could never take it to the next level. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what the food was for me, because I do come from a family that abused drugs and I did alcohol very heavily in college, very heavily, and got in some trouble with it. And I was just kind of like, okay, so I do have a wild hair.
This probably, that rebel part really is real.
Yeah. And like, this isn't a good deal. And so I think like, but you could use food recreationally and who cares? It's very acceptable. It's almost like more not acceptable if you don't, right? If you don't want to go throw down on the wings or the Mexican or the margaritas
I can't think of the word I'm wanting to use, but we give each other permission to do it.
100%.
Well, it's the holidays.
Right.
We're going to pig out because it's Thanksgiving, or we're going to pig out because it's Halloween and we have all this candy or whatever. We give it ourselves. Yeah. Again, it's that restrictive mindset that we are feeling like the only reason we can do anything outside of the restriction is to have a holiday or have a celebration or have a whatever.
Well, and it's like, why does all the crap have to be like what makes your holiday season great? Because all we do is complain about it after. It's like the holidays, I'm on this diet or this plan or what, you know, whatever. And it's just like, we have, and I mean, we talk about it a lot. It's just like, you know, like just the rewiring of like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Like, you go to Thanksgiving, you eat all the things, you're like, oh my God, I don't get them tomorrow.
I won't get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is the only day I can have sweet potatoes and green beans.
Yeah, and it's out of lack, right? Yes. It's out of, like, lack.
It's this scarcity.
It is. And it's just, like, does it have to be that way? Is that what about Thanksgiving's about? Like, you can sure have some great food, you know what I mean? But, like, that is the focal point. And I really feel like it gives us permission to use that as a way to cope with everything else that's going on that we don't really want to admit, right? Like, get together and see your family, and maybe you don't have great relationships with your in-laws, or, like, there's a stressful dynamic, or, you know, you don't feel great about seeing these. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a way to escape. And so what I really help people see is, how do you use food in your life? How are you using it? You know, and just really building the awareness and putting things together. And so what I'll tell you is, I found, you know, my kids were at the beginning of, I like to tell everybody, I would love to say that I just woke up one day and was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I deserve more, you know, I'm like their bodies. I'm just going to eat healthy and never. And it just wasn't that simple, but my kids, in doing it to like get pregnant, like really was a thing. And so I did end up getting pregnant. That was amazing. I had no gestational diabetes, no anything, no metformin. I was 100% like nutrition. And that was like, I was really proud of that. So that was like, boom, right? You just keep like raising the needle of things you're doing that are like, okay, this impresses me. Okay. I'm proud of this. Okay. And you just keep like habit stacking it. And then I got pregnant. I really wanted a girl first, found out it was a girl. And I immediately was like, oh my God, I'll never give her this. Just even how I used to talk about myself and talk about my body and my legs and shame and like all the things. And I was just like, it's like, I don't even want to waste time on it. But the amount of time that I would spend just in one day thinking about food, calories, working out, what am I going to do? What's my plan? What am I going to wear? How am I going to, how's that going to go? What will I do if I don't look good in that, then what will I mean, like, it was ridiculous. And it's like, you know, I heard something in church maybe 2 months ago to say, like, you're worried about what people think about you. Oh my gosh, the amount of pride. And I was like, I'd never even thought about it like that. I'd never thought about like, wow, how self-absorbed, because I am a very like giving, loving with my time, my energy. I want to support people. I want to rally around. Yeah. And it's like, all that, even if I wasn't saying it out loud, I wasn't talking about myself to other people, but it was like just the day in and day out. And it's like, how prideful to be so self-absorbed that you think people care that much about you, right? And what else I could have been doing with that energy, like for other people or to build myself up of like, you know, the person that God created. And so I never thought about it like that. And so that was my old age. I don't know that I would have gotten it in my 20s.
Probably not.
No,
but it's all in good time.
Yeah.
You know,
but it was like, it was really, you know, I was doing it for somebody else. It was my kids. And then I was like, I will not, I just like staked a claim. I will not give my kid, my daughter, this like image and this mind. She will not hear me talk about myself that way. And then when I became a mom, right, this is the whole stepping into, it has to do with like filling the void. Like I was a great mom. I knew I was created to be a mom. I mean, I was home in 24 hours and I just was like, you know, the hormone, I didn't have it. I could have like run a marathon day two after getting home.
You know,
my kid had Down syndrome.
Everybody, she could have.
And I just, and because I was so joy filled and I just, and it wasn't even just like, oh, in my circumstances, it was just like, I was living out my calling.
Right.
I felt like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm good at it. And it was just like the piece of the puzzle of like feeling good about yourself, feeling worthy, feeling like you're just doing something important. Yeah. And, you know, so that was the beginning. And it was just like, from then on, and I'll never forget, I say this on a lot of podcasts, my sister's like, please, my pet. But she, you know, she's 5'4". She drank Mountain Dew and Doritos and was like 100 pounds and just shredded. Right. I mean, she worked out a lot, but she never really had to work for it. Even if she gained a little here, she'd just be like, ah. And she's like, if you just eat real food, like if you're going to drink a Coke, drink a freaking Coke. If you're going to eat ice cream, eat, like if you're going to eat sour cream, no fat free, no. And I was just like, I literally was cringing.
What's the matter?
Because I'm going, I can't imagine putting 120 calories in my, you know, it was so just. And so that took me a long time. But when you have a baby in your belly, you go, oh my God, I'm just going to eat real food because I'm nourishing them, not me. Mm-hmm. And so it changed my everything. And I just started, I felt so much better.
Yeah.
And then as a mom, right, you can't be so self-absorbed. Everything is about everybody else.
Yeah.
For a lot, you know.
For a lot.
Especially with the first, you know, baby and then one having special needs. And so it was just like the focus was off of me, which was amazing. And then you have triplets and then it really is off of you, right?
There's no you except for the fact that you can fold them.
But I didn't feel that way. You know, here's the crazy part. It's like, you know, some people that go through it, maybe they don't have this thing. Like being a mom is such a gift. Some people want to be a mom. Some people don't. Zero judgment. I couldn't have not been a mom.
Me too.
Whether I had my own babies or I adopted, I would have been open to any situation. I would have let my older sister carry my babies or I would have done anything to be a mom. But it has to do with like that fulfilling piece, right? Like doing what you feel like you're called to do, something that's meaningful, something that like you hold worthy, right? And, you know, Anthony Robbins is always like, you know, people get depressed because they have this like thing of what they think they're going to be and capable of and think they're going to be doing. And then they look at like what their life really is. And they're just so like not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm not living up to where I need to be. And so for me, tackling a kid with Down syndrome and like navigating the whole world when I had no idea, like until literally I birthed her, that she was going to have, you know, Down syndrome. And then triplets, I was like, I'm crushing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Lord did that to me. But like, I was like, this is my challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can be organ, and I did. And so I was a great baby mom. I mean, I think I'm a great mom now too, but you know what I'm saying? But being a mom to older kids where you're not so much in control and you don't, they're not always doing the things you want them to do. And they're not talking to you. And they're saying like, hey, like you're being a butt right now. And you're like, you know, they can call you on your stuff. It's like, it really does highlight like
the things that we're doing to ourselves.
Yeah. And the things that like need to be worked out. And like, where is your spirit? Where is your soul? Where is your, you know, is the Holy Spirit flowing through you? I mean, maybe, maybe not. So, you know, I mean, it
maybe, maybe not.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's a huge question to ask ourselves in all of our decision-making, not just in our parenting, but in our food decisions and in our other health decisions that we're doing to ourselves.
Well, and the thing is, and what we always love to talk about is it's so important because I feel like one impacts the other. You know, I mean, even like, I'm just going back to January and I'm a really good, like 12 plus years, like can go out of town, not skip a beat, eat great, come back, work out, jump right back in. You know, I've had to overcome. It probably took me 10 years to really like figure out how to day in and day out, live the lifestyle, right? Like I'd get really good at one part and set it and forget it.
Yeah.
And then I'd go, I've got to work on my weekends. I've got to work on going out. I've got to work on vacations. How do I go out of my environment and still eat everything like I want to do, still enjoy, and then jump right back in? Like that, I mean, those skills took me longer and I really, you know, worked on those. Now I can do that without skipping a beat, but there are some seasons when you come back and you're like, why do I feel this way? Like, it's just harder. And so really where you want to get to be, like, I always think a coach is great. I always think an accountability partner, like, I don't ever think that's a bad thing. I think anything you can do to say like, hey, I need extra help right now. This is something I haven't walked through. This is something I'm experiencing. Or, hey, I'm just really overwhelmed. And honestly, I'm just kind of a baby right now. And I need somebody to hold my hand because my health is really important. Go do it. There is no shame in that. I think it's actually better to do that than suffering on your own and feeling bad about yourself and going down this hole. But, you know, so for even me, it's like as a health coach, as a health life coach, whatever it is, it's like I really had to be my own cheerleader in this different season and go, okay, I got to reassess what's working for me. What's not. Like 4:30 mornings aren't working. 5 is about as late as I can go. But I was just beating myself up for not being able to hit this mark. And so when we talk about this a lot, it goes, when you're pushing back, when you're rebelling against a system that has worked for you for quite some time, it's time to reevaluate, you know? And so now I go, hey, I'm not wasting 40 minutes driving 20 minutes to the gym and 20 minutes back. 6 months ago, I loved it because I was praising. It was my quiet time. And I was, and I'm like, but today I'm doing it different. I'm waking up and I'm having 30 minutes of quiet time in my house, in my PJs with my coffee. And then I'm doing my 30, 35 minute workout with my dumbbells in my panties, no bra, whatever I want, right? Like in my slippers and still killing it, but feeling good about doing it, but it looks different and I'm excited about it.
And it gives you a little bit more sleep.
And it gives me a little bit more sleep.
Yeah.
And it gives me like what I'm needing just to be home and not rat race. And now come 3 months from now, when it's summer,
it'll be different.
I gotta go.
But that's the thing is that I hear you saying it's about finding what works for you.
It is.
And having someone there to help you find the thing that works for you. Because most of us, and I think I speak for all of us when I'd say this, that most of us can't do it on our own, or we would have already.
Right.
We need a person that has already gone through it, that has experience with different pieces of it, that can help us through it.
Yeah. Especially starting out. Yeah. Right. And I like back when I did this, I feel like I'm talking like, oh, my mom, I'm back. But it feels like a million years ago. It's like, yes, there were health coaches. There was more trainers.
Right.
Right. This whole thing we live in now where everybody's a coach on Instagram and you can get this and a template and a, you know, you don't have to buy a freaking cookbook. Like you're on Pinterest, that's amazing. Like what an incredible resource. It wasn't so much that way. I mean, I'm sure it was out there, but it wasn't talked about. It was the 30-day diet. It was the, you know, the fast or the liquid juice, or I don't even know. It was like crap. I mean, I probably did it. I do remember doing some of this. I mean, I've done everything. I'm so embarrassed to say that. Just because like everybody wants a quick fix because we think this immediate gratification, this lose 10 pounds by tomorrow and look great for your date party, it's going to like solve all your problems.
But you also are able then to speak to those things and say, there's a reason this doesn't work. It's because you're not getting to the foundation.
Right. Why it's never going to work. It's never going to work. And so, when people coach with me and they'll be like, oh my God, 3 months. I was like, I'm just going to tell you up front, like 3 months isn't going to get it. Like you're going to make a ton of progress. You're going to have some aha moments. You're going to build, we're going to create, build some solutions that really work specifically for you. And you're going to learn what you love to eat. And, you know, you're going to grow in so many different ways. And just like you said, it's my favorite thing to ever remember. You said, you're like, if I'd have known like how much growth was going to take place and how quickly I could do some of this in 90 days, I would have done it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have people that go like, I need to do this again with you. And I go, of course you do, because that's only 90 days. It literally took me 10 years. And not that it's going to take everybody 10 years, but if you have some deep-seated food stuff,
right,
like it's not just food. You know, it's like everybody comes, not everybody comes to me, but you know what I'm saying? The people that come, they come. I need to lose 15 pounds. I need to lose 20 pounds. Teach me how to do it. Teach me how to keep it off.
Yeah.
But the things that we really end up focusing on and talking about that are driving the food decisions have nothing to do with food.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And they don't even have to do with health most of the time. No. It has to do with what we tell ourselves.
Yeah. And everybody wants to like, I mean, you'd be stupid if you're like, I don't want to be healthy. I want to be like, everybody wants to feel good and look good and like take care of themselves.
Right.
But in the moment of like a really tough season in your marriage or with your kids or, you know, transition or losing a job or financial or where you're not doing what you thought you would be doing, right? Which most of us, we've all been through that one time or another or still going through it. You're not thinking about your freaking health. You know, you're hanging by a thread. You're in survival mode. And we tell ourselves these are the things that are going to get us through. And so we talk about a lot is it's so important because they all impact each other. They do. Because even when you go and do that, you're still in the back of your mind like, I should have never done that. You know, like you don't feel great about it. And you know, you're just on cruise control through life and just letting life happen to you. And the amazing things about what I love about this is because even just in being a mom for the first couple weeks or months, like there was a spark. And, you know, moms were like, I'm overwhelmed. Like I'm probably more overwhelmed now than I ever have been in my life, I'll be honest. But when that first started happening to me and I was like, I mean, I did, I was still up at 4:30 and 5 a.m. and working out and whatever, because there's something about stepping into your power and doing something that you can own and you feel really good about that just juices you and it energizes you and it motivates you and it carries you. And you start having different thoughts. You start going, oh my gosh, I am awesome. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. And then it starts like another thought. And maybe I can help other moms feel this way. And maybe I can, right? And the Lord is just guiding you, right? But, and so that's why I love the exercise and the eating well. And, you know, you have people that like can't really even see themselves where they want to be. Like if they're dreaming, they don't even want to say it out loud, like what they're envisioning or what they want to do or what. I've had so many women tell me they wanted to do a figure competition or a fitness competition or, you know, and they're like, I can't even tell anybody else that. But I'm like, but why? You know, and I know what that feels like because there's things I've thought that about, like my husband or, oh my God, if somebody heard what I said in my car or, you know what I mean? The goals I have, they'd tell me I was crazy. You know, but there's something about stacking that, losing 10 pounds, watching yourself and your body change right before your eyes.
That confidence. I love you saying habit stacking because that confidence comes from that habit stacking, from that, from the changing of the thoughts and stacking that stuff on.
Well, and you're just disproving everything you've been saying to yourself, right? You're just going, oh my God, did I do this?
Yeah.
Did I go to Thanksgiving and like have an amazing time without eating ridiculous food? Or did I go like have the best meal ever of exactly what I wanted and then come back Monday to like my workout and jump right back into my regimen? Cause that was it for me. It was like, I don't want to be restricted anymore, but I don't trust myself to be able to like go back to plan. And so the first times that you do it, you're like, is this happening? And so you just go, God, well, what if I can apply this same principle to these other things? And it's like, it just, so what I love, do I love when women step on the scale and go, I'm down 15 pounds and however many inches? Yes, it's amazing. Because like, that's what, yes, that's amazing. And it's a lot of hard work and you're seeing the results, right? There's a lot of planning. It's a lot of, you know, but it's also the next things that happen. And it's just like the brain changes, like you see people approaching their marriage and their relationships and their parenting and their financial decisions and going, well, what if we do break out of this box or this mold and let's do it this way? You know, and it's not the same narrow-minded, stuck thinking.
Yeah.
And I just tell people, I just go like, when they come to me, they are usually pretty stuck, right? They're just like, they're stuck. And I just go, and then you say something like, let's say they're like, oh my God, 5 a.m. I'm like, what feels worse? Getting out of bed 30 minutes
that
early?
Is one of my favorite things that you say.
Yeah.
Is the devil you know.
Right.
Does the devil you know feel worse
Yeah. Than making these strides. Right. And I love that.
Yeah. And either one feels awesome at the very beginning, right? Because it's like you're uncomfortable and you're still tired and it's not your habit and you don't love the morning yet and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, but it's just like the language in which we speak. And that comes with, so I wasn't working out a ton in January. I was eating healthy, but I was like not enjoying it. I'll just like, I mean, I don't ever eat crap, y'all, but I have a gut thing. So I'm on a very regimented, the healing is a totally different thing than just having a lifestyle. I will tell you that. That's episode, you know, next.
Yeah.
But like going from a world where I haven't been restricted for a long time and could really manage and do what I wanted. And then going to healing where like, I'm not on a thing because of calories or like, cause I want to look good in a bathing suit, but it's cause I don't want to look 9 months pregnant and feel bloated, or like start coming down with autoimmune, you know what I'm saying? And so very regimented. And so even that for me was a season. I was like pissed off. I'm like, I've done all this. I've overcome this. I've got the lifestyle. I'm like, have my abs back.
I teach people.
My 4-year-old's right. My friends are losing 20 pounds. What the heck is wrong with me? And I just keep going like, haven't you shown me everything you want to in health and fitness? Obviously not. right? Obviously not.
It's a journey, Becca.
It is. But like, you know, you do it get pissed off sometimes.
But you're allowed to do that. And that's what I hear you say the most is that you're allowed to have those feelings. You're allowed to have those seasons, but we got to come back.
But you got to be careful because you can have those seasons, but the pity party of not getting up at 5 a.m. for however long does not serve me. It didn't serve my new business. It definitely didn't serve my family. It didn't serve my relationship with my husband. It didn't serve the relationship with myself because what happened was I wasn't doing quiet time. I wasn't speaking out the scripture and the declarations that I live by. And but because I wasn't hearing it and because I wasn't praising it and saying it over myself, I wasn't living it. I wasn't feeling it. I did feel like a loser. I did feel a little bit like a hypocrite. Like who am I to do this? And so that's where you really you have to just go, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. This isn't fair. I can be mad, but like, I got to go back to the basics.
I still have to do the thing.
You still have to do the thing
because
my business doesn't go around without me doing the thing. I can tell you.
Right.
Like nobody wants to make cold calls. Nobody wants to like, you don't have the same energy when you connect with people. You definitely put off a different vibe, right? Or frequency.
Yeah.
And you're just like, people are like, oh no, thank you. And it's just like, what is happening? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. They don't even know it, but they are picking up on your energy and how you feel about yourself. And why would they want to do business with you if you don't want to do business with you? And so it's just so interconnected and it's just like a domino effect.
It is.
Yeah.
And it has to be attacked in that way.
Right.
You can't just look at one domino and only one domino.
And I'll tell you, here's another thing we talked about your kids being, besides them like calling you out on all your, you know, shortcomings. But you know, like my girls have learned to be very early morning. Like Ed's very early morning too. He always has been business, whatever. But like me, like they'll see me like quiet time or working out or I'll be at the gym or I'm upstairs with dumbbells. And so they have really acquired that. So it's kind of the turning point of like, check yourself when your 9-year-old is reading her Jesus Calling book at 5 a.m. and you're laying your adult butt in bed, right? You're kind of like,
look what I did.
Okay. I guess I got to get back on. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's just, and so it is like, so, and they don't say, you know, or when they're like, hey, so you should probably hit the gym tomorrow. Like, because getting ready with me in the morning isn't as fun if I'm in my PJs and haven't like had my liters of water and taken it, you know, it's just so, and then God, man, what just an example.
Yeah.
You know, anybody, especially the biggest, busiest season in your life, you know, you go do something, you go, hey, I'm going to lose 30 pounds and your kids watch you do it. Hey, I'm going to revamp like what we eat at home. I'm going to like start saying scripture and do whatever it is. I'm going to like, your dad and I are going to be more intentional about having time together or date nights or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, man, for your kids to watch you do it and to do it well and then mess it up. I told Barrett, I mean, I just ripped her a couple new ones 2 days ago in the morning. I needed a punching bag. She became it. And, you know, I came home. I said, hey, I owe you an apology for this morning. She goes, Mom, you're retired. I'm like, not an excuse. I was tired. And I'm sure you're tired too. And you're not. Mm-hmm. And hey, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I picked on you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's just like, and it does teach them, like, we're not perfect. And I think it also lets them know, like, they don't have to be perfect. Yes, you need to learn how to make it right, you know, and take responsibility. But that's what it is in your health, too. Like, it's just so hard right now. It's like, it's freaking hard for everybody.
Right.
And take what time you need. But if you think it's not going to compound and affect you in other areas of your life, and it's not going to get worse.
And this isn't just putting it off forever.
You are feeding yourself. Yeah. I mean, that is the lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, you know, sometimes we put in this thing of like, I don't care if I'm, you know, or I feel comfortable in my skin. It's like, well, how do you feel in every other area of your life?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Is that it's not. What I've found in my journey is that it isn't just about the weight.
Right.
It's about all the other things.
Yes.
And that's essentially where it comes from.
It is. Yeah, that is. I mean, and anytime, you know, Ed and I, or, you know, you snap at somebody else, it's because I'm feeling less than. And it was like, I did sleep in. I didn't do the things that, you know, I'm yelling at my kid because I didn't do the things that make me great. I didn't do the things to set me up to have a good morning.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And so then you instantly, your kids are beating you out of bed and you're running around like a crazy person and you want to yell at them for not being ready or not being whatever. It's like, it's, I'm mad at me because I didn't make the right decision and do what was best for my entire family. Mm-hmm. And I set the tone for everybody. And I just go, I was a crappy example. You know, so you can't, I mean, what do? You just make it right. You go and show them you're human.
Yes.
And you just tomorrow, go, what you do you better. Do different tomorrow?
Yeah.
You get your butt out of bed.
Yeah.
You know?
You do it different tomorrow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
What I love the most is, and I've told you this so many times, but what I love the most about you is your honesty, that there is no emotion that we can't bring to you. That you're going to say, well, that's outside of my zone of genius. I cannot do that. Then
yeah.
If you're going to feel like that, then that isn't going to happen. You always are able to meet us where we are.
Yeah.
And how important that is to have that in this day and age, but also in this particular place, because we do need to get to the foundation. We do need to get to the root of it. We do need to figure out what's happening. And the only way to do that is to have somebody that's going to say, yeah, you're not going to surprise me. There's nothing you're going to say that is going to shock me into thinking that I can't help you.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and I do think it is, we all deal and, you know, it makes the grief, right? This is your podcast. And, you know, I love it so much because even just the first one, I mean, we've been talking about this for however long, and then this beautiful thing was birthed and like, here I am sitting on it and we thought you're going to lose 20 pounds and that's like what was going to come of it. Right?
Right.
I mean, I knew more than that, but, and I think you knew more than that shortly on.
Yeah.
But it's just like, yeah, because I don't think we get anywhere. I think we get more and more sick. Like the more that we just try and act like everything's okay, you know, and my sister was like, oh my God, you're such an open book. Like you might tell people too much. And I'm like, I may, but it's just, I do. I think that is one way that I really do connect. I have been through just a ton of life experiences, not all, but I just always go back to like, I feel like everything that we do, all the triggers, all the decisions, like they come back to some type of feeling, you know what I mean? Or some type of thing that we're going through that we're trying to like make better or make right or make sense or, you know, something.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, we all deserve to feel amazing. We all deserve, you know, I just, when I say now, it's like, it's different. It's like, I don't care about waking up and wearing skinny jeans. Skinny jeans aren't even in anymore, but I just like want to wake up and feel energized and not be dependent upon anything.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we can all do that. And I think the biggest thing is like just the mental aspect and just really like being more aware.
Yeah.
And like, I love this new lady I'm listening to, but she just like, if you will just listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth, you will know the direction of your life. And I have to give that to me a lot because even on my, I'm working out and I'm 4:30, I'm putting myself down in other ways or I'm, you know, I'm framing this like trigger that I had from a conversation with my husband to going back to where we were 5 years ago. And it's like, you're not there today.
Right.
Stop going back to that. Stop pulling that in. Like reframe that. How could that be? You know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the constant battle. I feel like that is, if you get out of practicing it, if you get out of being aware of it,
yeah,
it will come flooding back.
Because it's a journey. It's not just a one time.
And it's a comfortable place. It's your comfort zone. It's what you go to. It's your stronghold. It's your, you know what I'm saying? So really what we have done, and I think, it's just so fun. I just go like, well, Angel always coached with me because I feel like I learned so much when we work together. Because we could just go back. We have so many similarities and just like life and like how we deal with things and blah, blah, blah. So it's just so great. It's just fun. It's just like girlfriend time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna let you take it from there. Okay. Wherever you want me to go or however.
How can we work with you? How can we find Becca? How can we find her help? What does that look like? How can we find you to work with you?
Okay, so you can always text Angela and show you to my cell phone because I don't care. But I'm on Instagram at Her Health, 40, and Facebook. I mean, email, really, like direct message me. Go check some stuff out. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not a social media guru, right? I think what I do is hard to put on social media.
It's so individual.
It is. It's really hard. Like you can see me doing some stuff and tips and tricks and whatever, but really what I like to help clients do is I like to help create a lifestyle that works for them, right? I mean, the name of the game, if you're not doing what you love, exercise wise, food wise, if you don't love what you're eating, if it's not working for your schedule, if it's not working for your family life, if it's not like you're not going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a one size fits all. And so, and then we really hone in and go, because here's the sad part. Most people, most women knock it out of the park 85% of the time. They really do. They put all this effort in and all this stuff and they still just are coming, falling a little short.
Yeah.
So what we really do is we identify a couple of those problem areas. Is it traveling? Is it your job? Is it, with kids' food? Is it food prep? Like, what are your things? And then we create and build a solution on how to break through that. Something that's actually going to work for you.
My favorite thing about it is that it's iterative. When you create the plan, you create a plan, but then in 2 months or 3 months or whatever that looks like, when that changes, the plan changes. So we have the ability to create the thing that
I and the great thing is there's no menus. There's no, like, I don't just send you something and say, hey, here's your 1600 calorie, whatever it is, and do it and set and forget it. Like, I literally
she can do that, but she doesn't.
Yeah, but I don't, because when I did it, I lost the weight. I looked great. And as soon as I was done competing or whatever I was doing it for, I gained 30 pounds back because I'm like, I don't eat that anymore. So what do? So I teach women how to navigate food every day. So whether you're at a wine bar or whether you're at McDonald's, and it's very real, and people could look at this and go, oh my God, you're talking about McDonald's on a health thing. Like, it's very realistic that you're never not going to go through McDonald's ever again. So like, what do you do? What are best cases? How do you decide, like, do I want to eat this and enjoy this? Or do I want to stay the course? Like, in everybody's experience and how they use food and their past experience and all that is so different. So we really just get to know each other. And then, we're texting and Angela says, I want ice cream. And I go, here's what you eat. It's very, very relational. Like, we connect very well. We get to know each other very well. And it's just an easy dialogue. And we just troubleshoot and we problem solve. And we talk a lot of life. We talk a lot of life, and it's really about it. It will help you in so many other areas because you will build the skill of awareness with food, but then you'll start seeing it. You'll be like having an argument with your husband or your kid or your whatever, and you'll go, what is my part here? That's where I was going back to. Okay, last thing, and we're done.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is at some point, no matter what you're going through, you got to come back and take responsibility for where you are and where you want to go, right? Like, and I do hear some people say, but like, my husband's supposed to cook and he doesn't, or like, he's just not supportive, or if he doesn't understand. And I'm like, if I waited on somebody to understand where I was, or to do it for me, or to go to the gym with me, my husband doesn't even work out, never has. We've literally never stepped foot in a athletic arena besides a Tennessee stadium together ever. We probably never will. So, but it's just like, you got to get the excuses out of the way and really just go, I'm in control of me. Control the controllables, control what you can do. And if it's not something you're in love with, ditch it and start over. Like, you've got to go back in and go, what is working? What is not? Yeah. And play with it, right? This is, you've got to get out of the 30-day deal and you got to think long-term. So there's like 5 minutes of health and like, I don't know what else, but
that's the point though, is that it all fits together. That's your main point. And I so agree with it that I'm so thankful for you being here and thankful for just being in your circle, in your world.
Me too. Okay, let me say one more thing. She's never going to have me on again. I'm going to have to book for like two sessions instead of one.
So great.
This podcast is so like the bottom of my heart, because I'll never forget listening to her being interviewed on the very first thing she ever did. We talked about this for a long time. Such a cool story. You'll know her story. That's why you follow her. But just how she enlightened me and helped me, like grief, right? I don't have a kid that's passed. I don't even really, other than grandparents, have a family member, you know, that's passed away. I'm very blessed in that. A best friend 3 years ago. But other than that, I've been pretty blessed in that area. However, what was so cool and so powerful, and I felt so understood, and I've applied this in many scenarios now, is that grief isn't the same for everyone and doesn't necessarily have to be death. Grief of a relationship, of time with somebody, of what you thought it was going to be, and it isn't, it wasn't, it never will be, you know, whatever. I never, ever saw grief that way. And so what I love about this podcast is how you meet people right where they are, give them permission to feel and experience. Everybody's going to be so different in that. And it's not just like your scenario, your experience, and people having to like have the same feelings or deal with it in the same way. And I love it because I think grief is a really hard thing to talk about, you know, in death. I think people don't know what to say. They don't know what to say when you have a kid with special needs and like triplets and all the things, right? So we're pretty used to that.
Right.
But it's just like, nobody knows the right thing. And I think everybody thinks like, okay, they've been gone a year, so I should be done, or what, you know, whatever it is, this relationship, it isn't what it, get over it, right. You know, and
be over this by now.
Yeah. And it was just, I've never heard somebody talk about grief the way that Angela does, and just, really be able to connect the dots in so many different ways. And I just know that it brings people like the complete of feeling so understood and not having to fit in this little box, because I think we're complicated people. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so the work you're doing here, amazing. I love it.
Thank you so
much for having me. I just love you. Yeah. This was so fun.
Hey there. It's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings. And it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to donethatpodcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free, and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together.